passing by in time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for their war. They shoot, they kill, they massacre from rain, they burn the kids, no one makes gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die, this God will give. Selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. See the shit, force of air, fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre from rain, they burn the kids, no more leaves, turn trees, lie to your face, fight. Yeah, coming back around again.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. The show is called Rock the Boat, and we are broadcasting live right here on UCY.TV. Today is the 25th of July. We're heading for fall here pretty quick, but not heading for a fall, but just fall. Anyways, tonight's show is brought to you by non-government approved Moo Juice, the juice of a nation. Grass-fed, unpasteurized, unpoisoned, unvaccinated, unneedled cattle, cows, who produce this beautiful, rich, refreshing juice. And someday, hopefully, everyone in this nation can enjoy it. Till then, keep drinking that poison. Me, non-government approved Moo Juice. Anyways, and it tastes all the better. It really tastes all the better because they've been chasing down Michael Schmidt for 20, it's got to be 24 years now. 24 years. Of being raided and constantly dragged through court, and he is still standing. That's what I call a Canadian, right? That's what I call a Canadian, not these wussbag freaking clowns that wander around in LGBTQ pride parades, not a feminist Tinkerbell Trudeau prime minister puppet of the globalist, the spawn of his father, who was a communist, member of the Club of Rome, Jesuit trained. What more could we expect from this clown that we have now? About exactly what we're getting. What really bothers me is I post stuff, you know, in that Facebook thing, which, and it's amazing because they haven't shut me down for a while. They were shutting me down on a regular freaking basis there for quite a while. But now, not so much, although I think they're removing some of my posts, but they're not shutting me down, so that's cool. But, you know, they have all these little faces, or these little things you can put up, you know, likes and hearts and laughs and anger and all this kind of stuff on Facebook. But there's one that really irritates me, and it's one with tears. And I'm seeing way too many people putting tears on my posts, you know, saying stuff like, well, I guess this country's screwed now. That really irritates the hell out of me. If you go, if you hang out on my Facebook, no more tears. I don't want to see no more freaking tears. I want to see some men and women standing their ground. And don't tell me it ain't possible. Michael's been standing it basically on his own for 24 friggin' years. Now, if the rest of you stood up, we'd get it solved real quick. And I'm not just talking about the problem with real food. I'm talking about all the other problems we have in this nation. And they are aplenty and growing by the day. Anyways, I'm pretty happy today, and I want to put a special thank you to that big rubber duck who's on UCY TV all the time. And I guess he was listening to Sholly's show Sunday, maybe. And Sholly had Simon Roach on, or I don't know, Rock Roach, whatever, from South Africa on his show. I believe it was Sunday. And I was talking, I got a hold of him today at Chris's insistence. Although we've never met, he threatens to beat me regularly. and I can't say enough for the work that Chris does for lining some of these people up who I would likely never have run across. And so we hooked up with Simon today and had a really, really nice conversation with him. He's touring the States, and he's going to do, he's going to be my guest on August the 5th on Revolution Radio, 10 till midnight, but it's also broadcast over here to UCY.TV. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And next Saturday night, we have Jason Lamont coming on, who I believe got the first Medal of Valor for saving some of his troops over in Afghanistan. And through Chris, I had the privilege of speaking with Jason briefly, and you know, he's still a young man. He's still, I think, in his 30s, and he's reaching out to the military in general and the veterans, I think. And this seems like what Simon's kind of doing, although they're building, according to what I've been reading, they're building a non-civil armed forces or militia, whatever you want to call it, because obviously the government forces are not on the side of the people. And I think that's the same kind of thing Jason's trying to do, is convince the military that there's going to be a point where you're going to have to make a serious decision. You know, the people or the government. So, like Simon, believes the same thing. We should be able to do this without too much violence. And I think that's the whole point of what they're doing. You know, they want us, and it's the truth, they want us to get violent, because that gives them the authority to unleash hell upon us. And we don't want to go there, and we most definitely don't want to give them that that goal point, so to speak. Now, I was just reading here a little bit. I'll throw this in the post or in the chat. Now, you can look up Simon Roche, R-O-C-H-E. You can just look up Simon Roche, and you will find a whole bunch of stuff. He's been doing an awful lot of shows and meetings and conferences throughout the United States. And when I was talking to him today, he's impressed, which makes me happy. He's impressed with the some of the groups he's spoken to, at the number of people who are coming to these meetings compared to a couple of years ago, and is growing exponentially. And what's really got Simon, you know, pretty happy is that the number of young people coming to these meetings now, and that's the tough part. But he, like I believe, believes that the propaganda has basically run its course. It's not attaching itself to the youngest now. They're getting onto that. They're hearing things and they're researching now. They're not just blindly listening to their teachers and the TVs and the movies anymore. They're actually bearing down and checking some stuff out. Now, I didn't read the story yet, but I saw the story about Trump speaking to like 40,000 Boy Scouts or something. And I'm not sure what he was saying to them. Probably, let's make America great again. Excuse me. But apparently, from the little bit I read, which was very little, so don't hold me to it, but from what I did read, is that the scouts are like, yo, let's go get them kind of thing. And the scoutmasters and the left are freaking out on Trump. Like, what the hell was that? You're messing with our boys. Well, no, this is the thing. When you start putting these things together, like what Simon's saying, and I've been saying for years, we got to get to the kids or the young people. And it seems that they're starting to come around. And that's a very, very positive thing. And we're going to kick some butt. And, you know, it's the old thing. You know, they have a picture out on the internet a lot. And it's a fairly old picture where they have the bankers and that sitting around playing cards on the table, and we the slaves are on our hands and knees holding we're the table legs basically, and you know, all we got to do is stand up and it's over, and that's absolutely the truth, you know, and our numbers are growing, and I know there's a lot of angst out there. There's a lot of angry people out there. Just hang on to your anger. Use it in a positive way, not a negative way. We will rise to the occasion, and we'll get our nations back. So the group that Simon, I guess he's the head of it, is called the Suidlanders, S-U-I-D, Landers. And according to this site, it says they're an emergency plan initiative officially founded in 2006 to prepare a Protestant Christian South African minority for a coming violent revolution. Now, that right there, I think, is the most important line that we in the West must understand. It's not Christian, okay? Because that includes the Catholics, and that include, you know, people get tangled up in this stuff, okay? It is a Protestant movement, and that's a distinction that has to be made. It is the Protestants, and our nations were basically founded by the Protestants, and they were the ones that got a hold of the Geneva Bible, which I'm studying right now, the differences, and I'm studying the timelines, and I'm starting to wonder about this KJV Bible, whether or not it was a bait and switch to bring the Catholics back into power, or Rome, because Rome had been basically booted. That's what the Reformation was about. So, you know, the Geneva Bible is full of footnotes and sidebar notes and that. And the Geneva Bible says unequivocally that the Vatican, or the Pope rather, is the Antichrist. And anybody that's, all you got to do is look at the work of the Catholic Church and the bishops and the priests and the diddlers. And that's exactly what started the Reformation, was when Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther, who Martin Luther King was named after, got to Rome, being a devout Catholic, got to Rome and saw the decadence. And it made a light bulb go off in his head, and he went, what the hell is this? And you had to go through the church to get to God. And they were using that as, to get rich and to enslave people. Not unlike our legal system today and our governments of today. So, you know, it was the Geneva Bible that came with the pilgrims over here on the Mayflower, and it wasn't the King James Bible, it was the Geneva Bible. That Bible was, if you were caught with that after a certain period of time, and there was only a few hundred of them out there at the time, you were in big trouble, and that was that was Rome being ticked off. And then King Henry made a deal with Rome because he wanted to, same time period basically, he wanted to divorce his wife, and he couldn't get a divorce. But anyways, he got taken down, he got bitch slapped, and it was, and the King James Bible came after that. So I'm kind of wondering. I got a lot of research to do on that, but something smells. But anyways, we'll go on with this thing. So it's a Protestant Christian South African minority for a coming violent revolution. We are non-aggressive and legal in our preparation. Now I'm gonna have to do some tearing apart with this when I get Simon on the show. Because some of the stuff he's dealing with, I would like him not to deal with. But this is fine because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, regardless if they're a little bit confused in the language and the different groups and whatnot. We are non-aggressive and legal in our preparation, okay? And I'm not sure if Simon's aware that legal is not law. And if you're a Protestant, Christian, South African, then we need to kill the legal system, just as like Shakespeare said, or it was said in one of Shakespeare's plays. First thing, kill all the lawyers. Okay, woe on you lawyers. So a Protestant should not be dicking with the legal system, because then you're not in law. And if you're not in law, then you can't proclaim to be a Protestant. It's that simple. So we'll work all this stuff out. Maybe it will help them be stronger. But anyways, constituted lawfully under the Geneva Convention. Now see, there's the next problem. It was constituted legally, not lawfully, under the Geneva Convention. So there's a couple of things here that's a bit of a problem, but their attitude is correct and their ideals are correct. We have to put this ugliness to rest. Like I told them, the Geneva Convention, I said, that's UN crap, man. Who do you think has put the South Africa in this position of looking at civil war? The United Nations and the evil SOBs that started it. So to go to the Geneva Convention and say, take that and stuff that. No, just be who you are. Be a group of Protestants who are in law. Take your legal system, shove it. Take the Geneva Convention, shove it. Take all that stuff, get it out of the way. Don't need it. Anyways, this goes on. I guess this is the protocols 1 and 2 for the protection of non-combatant civilian Afrikaners, women, children, elderly, the non-able body in the event of a civil war. See the Geneva Convention. Well, see, these guys that set up these wars, first of all, they don't care about the women, children, the elderly, and the non-able body. Who they want in the war is the able body. They want the strongest, youngest men in the fight, because that's who they want to kill off. That's who they want to kill off. That's who they've been killing off in all these wars. So they say, well, we protect the women, children, the elderly, and non-able body. Okay, well, that's a great convention. Bull crap. Don't start wars. There's a better convention. Now, the United Nations was set up supposedly, which was a complete and total lie, that we wouldn't have war anymore, or hunger, or poverty. Look around. You got more poverty. You got more wars, right? We haven't had a day of peace on this planet since the United Nations was instituted. has been war every freaking day somewhere since. And we most certainly haven't eradicated poverty. So, you know, we need to kill the UN. Killing the UN would be almost equal to the Reformation, which was the protest against the Catholics, is where Protestants came from. It was a protest against the Catholics or Rome. Then they did a pretty good job of knocking the feet out from under it for a while. But they weasels and they're slippery buggers and they get back control of things. So, you know, we need to do basically, you can basically look at the UN as the Vatican if you wish. They're just as evil. And even though the Vatican is not a member state, the Vatican has, what do they call that? Well, anyways, they're heavily involved in it, in every part of it. And they have a lot of power there. So in 2006, the signs were becoming clear that anarchy in South Africa was a real possibility. While most people ignore these warning signs, as we ignore the warning signs here in the West, we can see them, we can smell them, we can taste them, but we still manage to ignore them. Somebody else will fix it. While most people ignore these warning signs of the coming revolution, the Suidlanders started to prepare. Today, many ardent deniers have to admit that anarchy in South Africa is not only possible, but likely. So, this is what we're going to be talking about. On August the 5th on Revolution Radio, also broadcast over here to USAY.TV. And this is the other problem. We still have this right-left thing going on here. It says we are primarily a Bible-believing Christian conservative group. Now, you can leave that out. You know, it should say we are primarily a Bible-believing group of Christians. Duh. Finish the sentence. This right-left crap don't fly. At least don't fly with me. We call on our members to personally prepare for an emergency situation like major civil unrest. With the help of thousands of our members, we have prepared and identified extraction routes and safe areas where training capable members will become self-reliant and proficient to provide assistance and support to the inevitable flow of refugees during a crisis. Now, with all of what's going on, I'm just going to finish this one piece here anyways. Through experience, especially in Africa, we have learned that we cannot depend on international bodies to assist during a conflict. We intend to go through God's provision, help ourselves. We also believe in the words of a century-old prophet called Nicholas van Rensburg, who clearly warned the Boer of an impending civil conflict. We invite the international community to contact us so that we may work together in preparing to resist global persecution. Our main website, which is in Afrikaans, is Suidlanders.co.za. Welcome to the Suidlanders. This is going to be interesting as hell. I got basically a week and a half to go through some of this stuff, and I find this kind of almost ironic, right? We have the Geneva Convention, which is an international convention on war, and the wars are created by those who are the most evil. I just call them the Satanists. And that's where they put the Geneva Bible together. But almost seems ironic that the good people that put that Geneva Bible together got pushed aside, and instead we have the UN Geneva Conventions coming out of there, and the World Health Organization, a couple of very nasty groups. Okay, so they also have a blog. I'm going to go to the blog for a second. But I find this very inspirational, because if they can do this in South Africa, then you can do it anywhere, you know. So I find this whole thing extraordinarily positive. People here in the West, man, I tell you. Now, Africa is a little bit different thing, because this has been going on a long, long time. We had apartheid. Now we have basically white apartheid. Anyways, there's an emergency plan here, the Geneva Convention, how to get involved. Now, here, this looks like kind of slay those who insult Islam. Europe, you will pay, butcher those who mock Islam, behead those, yada, 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 yada. Okay, so again, this goes right back to what I was saying. This is a spiritual, psychological war, and it's not a war that needs to be fought with weaponry. Now, I'm not saying don't be locked and loaded, okay? I'm just saying that is not the first step. That's the very last step, because we're outgunned, aren't we? Just like in the genocide of the natives, you know, the natives did their damnedest to fight back, but they were outgunned. And we have to understand that. We're also outgunned. So we also have to understand it's a psychological, spiritual war. And so we just have to strengthen our spirit, our minds, and our spines, and we can win this. Anyways, I'm going to throw this in the chat. And I invite everyone to do as much research as you have time to do on this particular group, as I will be doing whenever I get time in the next week and a half. And so we'll throw this into the chat. And then I'm going to go to a gentleman I haven't, and he's going to be our guest next Sunday, or next Saturday night, excuse me. Jason Lamont, and I gotta admit, I haven't really, I mean, I've talked to him and stuff, but I haven't really looked at it that deeply. Now, I see where did that go? Oh, here it is. I see he's actually in Wikipedia. And the sort of the Suitlanders are on Wikipedia as well. So I'm just going to go to Wikipedia here first and see what it's got to say. It's just a short little piece. Jason Lamont, MMV, is a Canadian soldier who was among the first recipients of the Medal of Military Valor, a Canadian military decoration in recognition of actions under enemy fire in Afghanistan. He belonged to the Princess Patricia's Canadian Light Infantry. The citation reads, Corporal Jason Lamont, MMV, Edmonton, Alberta, and Greenwood, Nova Scotia, Medal of Military Valor. Corporal Lamont deployed with the Health Support Services Company Battle Group during Operation Archer on July 13th, 2006. Isn't that amazing, eh? The Suitlanders were formed in 2006, and Jason was over in Afghanistan in 2006, and got his... we're going to try and get these two guys together, too. We'll do the show with Jason this coming Saturday night, and then on August the 5th, we're going to do the show with Simon, and we're going to try and get Jason in and let them two guys have a chat about, you know, their different viewpoints kind of thing, and what each of them think we have to do, and hopefully everybody can learn something from it. Anyways, an element of the reconnaissance platoon came under heavy enemy fire from a compound located in the Helmand province, Afghanistan, and was isolated from the rest of the platoon. During the firefight, another soldier was shot while attempting to withdraw back to the firing line and was unable to continue without regard for his personal safety. Corporal Lamont, under concentrated enemy fire and with no organized suppression by friendly forces, sprinted through the open terrain to administer first aid. Corporal Lamont's actions demonstrated tremendous courage, selflessness, and devotion to duty. And so he's going to be our guest next Saturday night. And from what I understand, we have all kinds of links here. We have Valor of Four Soldiers Recognized, Legion Magazine, and the Star and Medal of Military Valor. High military honors given for feats in Afghanistan, Canada, CBC. Jason Lamont, we all stand at attention. The Governor General announces the first ever awarding military bravery for that. National Post, yada, yada, yada. So there's a whole bunch of links here under Jason Lamont. I just want to hit this one. We all stand at attention and see what pops up here. International War Veterans Poetry Archives is what this took me to. At the time of writing this poem, Jason was a corporal with the Health Service and Support Company Task Force Orion in Afghanistan. The medic received the Medal of Military Valor, Canada's third highest bravery award for running through the enemy fire to check on a wounded colleague when his unit was ambushed in Afghanistan. And we all stand at attention. This is a poem. And I don't like anything with the word international on it, so we'll see what this says. We all stand at attention, left arms stiff at our sides, body straight, tall and proud, right arm saluting in pride. Our fallen comrades are hoisted up to shoulder height. They lay, carried by eight of their brothers in arms. Then the bagpipes start to play. The music moves our souls with the spirit of the lost. All fours are slow, marched in succession, falling two men with a cross. We struggle to fight the tears, the hurt inside starts to swell, our throats get choked up. If we feel the need to yell. I'm going to pop that up a little bit. I can't see it. Why was it you and not me? The guilt I feel is so intense. But that question can never be answered. Death will never make sense. Tears now fill our eyes as the silver coffins are marched past. The Canadian flag drapes across them. Flags that will forever be half-mast. We think about the battle, we think about their lives, we think about the memories, we pray for their families and wives. These soldiers fought for their country and paid the ultimate cost. They are brave and truly courageous, and their memory will never be lost. We know they've met St. Peter and are beyond heaven's pearly gates. They are at peace now from this hellish war and away from all this hate. Our arms snap to attention, and we taste our salty tears. We hurt so much for the loss of you. We wish you were still here. We bow our heads in one last prayer, touch your caskets and say goodbye. We'll miss you also dearly, but we'll smile When we look up at the sky, we think of you often and how you've touched us all. We'll go and celebrate the lives you led and stay up until last call. We'll hold our glasses high and we'll cheers to your life and name. And we slam that shot down and smile because we know you're doing the same. And that's, well, it's written by Jason Lamont. I didn't realize that. And that's quite the poem. But I want to discuss that when Jason comes on the show, because I'm not sure exactly when he wrote it. But I think he has some differences of opinion probably about it now. Christopher, how are you, my friend?
Doing good.
You going to yell at me for something?
Well, I just want to clarify. You mentioned you're going to have Jason Lamont on your show next Saturday night.
This coming Saturday, yeah.
10 to 12 on Revolution Radio, simulcast over to UCY.
Right.
That TV. Yeah. Well, you know, it's good. We got...
No, this is brilliant. I mean, I can't thank you enough.
But what I want you to understand is, when you were mentioning this Wikipedia thing, Wikipedia is not the greatest source of information.
Really?
No. Did you not know that, silly?
What was that? What's the one what's that guy's name there that's always WikiLeaks?
Yeah, oh yeah, Lassange.
Well, you can trust WikiLeaks, right?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Hello, I'm Julius Assange, and I keep releasing emails while I hold up the United Nations book here. Right. I mean.
But anyways, no, the main reason I called in today, Ron, is because Jason did what he did out of protocol. Like, he went against orders. I think I've explained this before, but in Canada, our medics in the military, when they're in a war zone.
Yeah, I know. You're supposed to stay put.
No, they carry guns. They fight alongside the soldiers. Like, I believe in the American military, the medics are there to get ready to go and help save lives.
No, I think some of them are carrying guns down there too, the field medics.
Well, maybe now, but I know in the past that they used to. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the guys are there to try and save your life if you get wounded on the battlefield. But our soldiers are trained, or our medics are trained in the military to not only administer first aid, they fight back too. They're right beside you, shoulder to shoulder. And what happened with Jason was they got trapped. So that Wikipedia isn't lying when they tell you that they got caught. They had no backup, and they come under fire, and guys were getting shot. Now there was more than one that Jason had to actually administer aid to, and so he went against protocol. So he could have been. In the military, he could have been charged for not listening to the protocol. Like, you're supposed to wait until the area is safe and then go in and administer first aid. And Jason said, screw that. I'm going in. And he, you know, well, you'll hear more on Friday or Saturday night.
No, I'm really looking forward to it because
He says, I didn't dodge bullets. He said, you can't
dodge bullets. They're just lousy shots.
And he said, but I was deking and dodging and running, and all I could hear was thud, 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 thud. Trying to kill him. And he said, I thought I was dodging bullets. He said, and then I realized it wasn't. I said, no, you were. They couldn't get a bean on you because you kept moving.
Well, they're just lousy shots, that's all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He'll explain that one to you too. The way they shoot,
but
they either shoot from the hip or they shoot from over their head.
Well,
go,
you know, what it is you got these automatic weapons, right, which aren't very accurate to start with, and then they say, well, we got lots of shells, so they just kind of try to spray stuff, right? Where in the old days, you know, don't pull the trigger until it's through the white eyes, right? That was a much more deadly affair. You know, the amount of munitions they have to use to kill somebody now is crazy, you know. But you're paying for it, so and it keeps people working, so what the hell. But, no, I you know, when I was reading some of this stuff from Simon and then this poem here from Jason, we have got to get these two guys together over on Simon's show on the 5th. I think these guys will really hit it off together, and I think they'll really work well together.
I bet you I can get Jason in.
Yeah, I'm sure he will be excited to be in talking to Simon, because these guys, I think, have a lot to talk about.
Well, he's concerned about South Africa, too.
I didn't realize. I mean, I've seen a few things, but I didn't, you know, we don't see that here, okay? Somebody looked crooked at a what do you call this thing? Drag queen, right? And it'll be splattered all over the news, right? And we have this big mess going on in South Africa. When I never read nothing in any paper in this country about anything about South Africa, except some guy from Africa built a windmill blade to run a battery-operated radio out of sticks, and that's plastered all over the place. You know, something as big as a possible civil war in South Africa, you would think it would be out there on the CBC News or some of these other news sources. I never seen anything about it.
The way I see it, and I've seen it for 5 years now, these white boys down in South Africa in their own country. Because Africa isn't a country. Did you know that?
What?
Africa is not a country. It's a continent.
That part I get.
Yeah. So anyway, so you've got these white boys.
South Africa is a country.
Is a country.
Yeah, South Africa is a country in Africa. Yeah.
Within Africa.
Right.
But Africa itself is not a country full of black people. There's Asians. There's the whites in South Africa.
Yeah, but the main population of whites is in South Africa, right? That was a colonization.
Yeah. Now their backs are against the wall. I mean, they're pushed to the ocean right now.
Well, that you would expect,
and that they're getting raped and murdered, and a lot of bad things are happening.
Well, yeah, but you know, this is, you know, they had apartheid where the white people basically owned the land, and the blacks were living in shanty towns, and you know, it's the same as a colonization here. Okay, the native people were pushed back, and you know, it's basically the same story. And so when apartheid ended, it flipped, which is exactly what they're doing here now. By, you know, they gave claim to the natives here, and it's all about causing friction between the two sections, and the two sections can't seem to understand that. You know, it's not the blacks and it's not the whites that is the problem. It's not the fact that the whites colonized. And the Aboriginals, which were the Africans, were pushed aside and looked down upon. Same thing happened here in North America. Okay, now they're switching it backwards. Okay, only to cause friction. They knew damn well when they ended apartheid that this was going to happen. Now we have white people living in the shanties, And the black people came in and took over the farms. Only they're saying, well, they don't know how to run the farm, right? So now we got all this friction that was created. And you know, it's the same thing I said about when the first settlers came to North America, they were dependent upon the natives. Okay, and they got along fine. I mean, all kinds of settlers were marrying Indian or Native women, and vice versa. It was getting along fine till the corporation pulled its stunt, which is exactly the what's going on in South Africa really is not really a whole lot different than what's coming here. Right. You know, and, you know, we have the Black Lives Matter, you know, and they both, everybody's got the same problem. You know, we have this problem of black and white and native and white and yada, yada, yada. And then they come and drop that damn Muslim bomb in here, right, just to make the final stir of the pot to throw everything in total and complete disarray. No, this is all well planned out stuff. So it's not the black people and it's not the white people of South Africa are the problem. It's the administration. It's the puppet masters that are the problem. You know, and they're the ones that got to get taken down. You know, if we're going to build a gallows, we know who's going to go to the gallows, and they need to be wiped off this planet in every single country on this planet. Then we can get back to some peace. But this thing of him, this Protestant movement, he's bang on that one, right? And that's where we got to roll, and we're going to roll, and we're going to scare the living snot out of them, and they're going to run like chicken shits because that's what they are. Once they see themselves losing control, they're going to run. You know,
they're not capable of taking care of themselves. I'll tell you that right now.
Who?
The blacks that are trying to genocide the whites are not. They're not. It's been proven.
What do you mean it's been proven? I've got
evidence to show you. Some of the black communities are asking for the survivors of the ones that they've killed to come back to help fertilize their farmland because they have no clue what they're going to do with it.
You're talking about South Africa.
Yes.
Yeah. I already brought that up. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge problem, right? But at the same token, Chris, you have to understand that these are basically, you know, this idea of when the colonization started, you know, they sent people into, I mean, Africa had its own continent. The African people, while they weren't watching big screen TVs and stuff, they knew how to feed themselves. Okay, this idea, I mean, they may not know how to run a commercial farm. But see, this is the same thing they did with the natives, okay? They took away their society from them. The society that they had was working perfectly fine from them. Once it's been removed from them for several generations, they're lost. Okay, so there's no, it's an absolute sameness. Okay, the Native American people didn't live the way we lived. But that didn't make them incapable of looking after themselves. They were quite capable of looking after themselves, and so were the Africans quite capable of looking after themselves. But once the state takes the children and genocides the population, which is the death of their society, their norms, okay, and then you pitch them back in here, they don't know how to deal with it. Of course they don't know how to deal with it. But that doesn't mean that they're not capable of looking after themselves, because they were perfectly capable of looking after themselves before the corporations rolled in. And it's got nothing to do with white people. The white people were promised things. That's how they ended up in South Africa. That's how they ended up here, right? And all we were used for was to people the land so they could claim them. So, you know, we, the white people, we got to get down off our hotty-totty high seat because we got used big time, and we should be extremely pissed about it. And so, you know, we can't be calling down other peoples because, oh, we're smart. If we were smart,
you know what, Ron? You know, you're calling us hottie-totties and whatever you just said, but, you know, we're getting abused here in our own lands in Canada and the United States for being white by black people, and then now I'm trying to defend somebody from South Africa who's a white, and you're saying we got to get off our high horse.
You're not getting it, Chris.
Well, when I was talking to the
two native guys over at the courthouse, they got it. When I explained it to the white lady, or not the white lady, the native lady, about if she understood what the plan for Whitey was, she understood it immediately. It's Whitey that doesn't seem to be able to wrap their brains around it. Okay, we got used. And now what they did to the South Africans and what was done to the native people and the black people, okay, it's all being reversed now and flipped over. Okay, so now where we had the power, that power is being taken away from us, okay, and we're being made to be the problem, just like the Africans were the problem. Just like the natives were the problem. They reversed it now. We're the problem. Okay? And we better understand that. So when I was talking to the native guys, you know, I'm going, look it. They understood it perfectly well. They understood it was the corporation. It wasn't the white people. It was the freaking corporation. Okay? Call that corporation the Vatican. Call it the bankers. Call it the lawyers. I don't give it. Well, it's all one chunk. That's the problem. The white people and the black people in South Africa could have gone along just fine, but the corporation came in and moved the black people off their land and gave the land to the white people. Now, if you were a black person, you'd be pretty pissed off about that. If you were a native and you got shoved off your land, you'd be pretty pissed off about it. Okay? So now they've stewed that for generations, hundreds of years. And now they flip it. Okay, so now we're the bad guys now. Just like the black guys in the neighborhood, people were the problem in the past, now we're the problem. But who stewed it all up? The corporation. And where'd the first corporation come from? Rome. Okay, where's all roads lead to? Rome. What's got to be eradicated? Rome. Why was the Reformation brought up? To get rid of freaking Rome. So when these guys that are Protestants, which is the protesters against the Catholic and Rome and the Vatican, these guys are on the right side of this fight. But the fight isn't between them and the black people. And I think when we talk to Simon today, he gets it. That's why we got to settle this out without the violence. These people have to shake hands and say, we are both being used by those guys. You're not the problem. We're not the problem. Those guys are the problem. Let's go get it together. Let's join forces and go get those sons of bitches. And then we can live in peace. So we got it. We got to stop this division all over the place. Okay, the native people, and with us, the South Africans, they're the native people, just like our native people. We got to join up together. We got to You know, get around this nonsense, right? Well, we stay divided. We're going down.
Yeah, but who are those guys you're talking about?
Those guys? Yeah. Well, we have to clean our government houses immediately. That's numero uno. These people, I mean, I have no problem. I have no problem with setting up a gallows, right? These people need to be dealt with, period. Okay, because they're all, I mean, every single nation is a member state of the United Nations, which is the same freaking group of people that brought you the international money markets and the Fed. These are the same people that took you from law and put you into legal. These are the same people who started all the wars. These are the people who start the depressions, right? It's all manipulation. So we got to get rid of the manipulators. Those guys that think that they get to play God got to go bye-bye. I mean, I pride myself on being able to get along with pretty much anybody, you know. You know, stateside, when I was down there working, people say you can't go in there and you can't do that. What? What's that all about? The amount of fear down there was ridiculous. And I didn't have any problem, right? Because I don't walk in fear, and I don't look at somebody who I haven't met yet as my enemy. And get along fine. I'll speak my peace, and I'll defend myself if necessary. But this idea to take huge groups of people and target them with whatever is stupid, absolutely stupid, because that means that you've been propagized by the corporation, which entails all these manipulators, and they got the better of you. Because they convinced you that this guy, because of his color or where he lives or what neighborhood he lives in, is this, which is absolutely untrue. But that is how you keep the population divided against each other. That's how you give the power to these manipulators, these liars and these deceivers and these schemers. And we got to get over that crap, or we ain't ever going to accomplish anything. And once we get the people together, the next thing we have got to do is get rid of this damnable right and left. I mean, how can you be a conservative Christian versus a liberal Christian? How doesn't make any damn sense? You know, as soon as you add a word to a word, you change the meaning of the word. So now we have a fight between left and right Christians, left and right political, right? I mean, it's all manipulation. So there can't be any right and left. There cannot be party system. Either the country is run by the people for the people, or it's being manipulated by somebody else, which are the people that start the right left in order to keep you divided, because a divided nation cannot survive itself. They can't do it because you're always fighting. You can't make any sensible plans for your people. Jesus, I mean, all you got to do. Oh, shit, we're out of time. Sorry about that. Anyways, we're back Thursday night, and then the next fall.
Satellites and buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money,
anyway,
they don't care.
Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for their mom.